It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. A nugget of wisdom from Mark Twain, who saw clearly what the human race was behaving like so long ago. Another nugget of wisdom. The worst thing about social conditioning is that it makes an individual of that society genuinely believe that he or she is being moral, while in reality, that person may be participating in the worst kind of moral atrocities. That nugget of wisdom from neuroscientist Abhayat Naskar from the publication Moral Absolute. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for February 17th, 2018. This commercial-free news program, again brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM. Saturday mornings from 6 to 7 on KQMS, Sunday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. Geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up free if you're in the Redding, Shasta County area at Orchard Nutrition. Speak to the staff in the vitamin section. Anyone who wishes to order the latest awareness-raising informational materials can do so on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Very quick announcement, and we'll dive into what's happening around our disintegrating society and biosphere this week. It's accelerating by the day. Very quick announcement, Santa Barbara Gem Fair, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Very, very committed ally in the fight against climate engineering. The Gem Fair event this weekend, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is at the Earl Warren Showgrounds. Geoengineeringwatch.org booth is there with free materials you can come pick up and help to distribute. Help us to expose this most critical issue of climate engineering, geoengineering, aka weather warfare, also biological warfare due to the toxic components in climate engineering. Help us to expose this issue. Again, Santa Barbara, Earl Warren Fairgrounds. Next weekend, very large Gem Fair show in Southern California in Costa Mesa at the Orange County Fair and Event Center, February 23rd through the 25th. Show up, get free materials, take them with you, help us to sound the alarm. There will be abundant materials at that booth, along with a number of activists to help answer questions. The latest school shooting tragedy by an individual that federal agencies were warned about and did nothing has conveniently provided mainstream media mass distraction from the ongoing activities of the completely out of control military-industrial complex that continues to wreak havoc around the globe. Glorification of war, conflict, and carnage also helping to program and produce exactly the kind of deranged individual that just committed the school massacre. The same military-industrial complex is also pushing us all toward a final global conflict as resources run out and the biosphere implodes. So let's consider last week, on the day after the latest school shooting, President Trump, mainstream media, and official agencies all said this: protecting our children must be our top priority. Really, are we to believe that there's any sincerity whatsoever from such sources when all the same sources are doing exactly nothing to even disclose, for example, the lethal vaccination assault on our children, let alone stop that assault? Vaccinations are decimating children around the globe. The medical industrial complex is pushing highly dangerous vaccinations on populations from India to Africa to the USA and everywhere else around the globe. What are these vaccinations doing to children in Africa? One example, consider this. As I've already stated in a previous broadcast, vaccinated children in Africa are 500% more likely to die in the first 5 months of their lives. 500% more deaths for vaccinated kids. And then there's the global autism epidemic that is inarguably related to the known neurotoxins contained in vaccinations. And please bear with me for a moment as I just want to highlight the blatant, glaring hypocrisy and lies coming from everywhere, including the Office of the Presidency, official agencies, mainstream media, that want to pretend they care about protecting our children when their behavior shows exactly the opposite. So in addition to the highly toxic vaccinations, are we to believe that such sources as I just named are sincerely interested in protecting our children when they are doing exactly nothing to even disclose the highly toxic heavy metal and chemical fallout from the illegal ongoing climate engineering operations that are contaminating every breath our children take, that are contaminating every breath each of us takes, that are contaminating the entire web of life? Smoke, mirrors, and unbridled insanity and lies by a completely out-of-control power structure. That's the world we live in. Every single individual that's supporting the insanity, quote, by just doing their job, is an active part of that insanity. Every single individual that refuses to investigate the truth, every single individual that chooses to look the other way, is a part of the problem, is a part of the insanity. So to be clear, if you believe for a second that any elected official or any mainstream media source is being the least bit sincere when they claim to care about our children, when they claim that their goal is to protect our children, think again. Such a notion could not be further from the truth. Does anyone remember Secretary of State Madeleine Albright when she was asked if killing 500,000 children in Iraq with sanctions was worth it? And she stated without hesitation, yes, she thought it was worth it to acquire the resources in Iraq because that's what it was about. What other means of manipulation is the power structure using to manipulate the masses? The stock market theater of deception continues. The stock market is and always has been a massive Ponzi scheme that was constructed to further the agendas of the global elite. The stock market is a means to manipulate and pacify the masses while the military-industrial complex continues to expand like a malignant cancer. While the biosphere implodes, while our collective futures slip away like sand in an hourglass. The only true wealth is natural resources and a functional environment without which we all die. And I'll get to those headlines in one moment. I want to set the tone for reading these headlines so that it's clear why it matters, so that it's clear why I'm covering the most critical frontline data and not the latest power structure manufactured political theater, which means nothing on the bigger picture, which so many people are unfortunately caught up in. This will set the stage for the headlines I'm about to read. Aren't there people telling us, by the way, for example, that excess CO2 is wonderful, the more the better? For those that have chosen to accept such an irrational, blatant, glaring lie, please take the time to actually investigate the frontline verifiable facts. Don't believe me or any other narrative. Investigate for yourself. The human race is currently consuming about 87 million barrels of fossil fuels a day and thus pumping 100 million tons of CO2 into the atmosphere a day. And not only is this completely derailing the former energy balance of the planet, meaning more thermal energy is penetrating the atmosphere than is escaping back. Very simple, easy to comprehend fact. In addition to that, the excess CO2 is greatly diminishing the nutrient value of our food supply. Again, I ask, please don't believe me. Rather, if you care about the truth, if you care about your future or the future of your children, investigate. A report from multiple sources titled The Great Nutrient Collapse. That's a starting point. The article is posted under the health section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Excess CO2 is causing a very significant decrease in the nutritional value of plants because they can't adapt to this radical change in atmospheric gases. They can't. And this is something that no one talks about when we hear people claiming that CO2 is the gas of life, the more the better. That's not true. That's not true. It's out of balance. Everything requires balance. Water, essential for life, the most essential. If you're 10 feet under, you're not going to live long, are you? I bring this example up often because it's important to look at the facts and not run with some manufactured false narrative by people with agendas. And I have no love for the climate science community. Understand that. They are part of the disinformation at this point because of their cowardice, their unwillingness to tell the full truth, to tell the truth about climate engineering. I have no love for that community, but the truth is still the truth. And it's up to all of us to investigate that truth. Let's remember also excess CO2 is acidifying and killing our oceans. This must be investigated, remembered, and considered. And about the climate engineering issue, again, to be clear, the ongoing so-called geoengineering programs, which is far too dignified a term, but it's a term that we need to use if we want credibility, which includes ocean iron fertilization operations, which many people don't know about. Please investigate that as well. These operations combined are the single greatest climate disrupting factor of all. And that's saying a lot, considering the endless list of planetary devastating human activities. What's unfolding at blinding speed on the rest of the biosphere front? Consider this quote taken from the website presidency.usb.edu. It's from report number 589, August 28, 2017, titled "The President's News Conference with President Sauli Niinisto of Finland." President Niinisto states this: "We discussed a lot about black carbon, and to explain to everyone, what happens is that from the atmosphere, black carbon covers the Arctic, and we know what happens when sunshine meets black. It melts the ice. And the problem is not only in the Arctic. If we lose the Arctic, we lose the globe. That's reality. Consider what I just said. If we lose the Arctic, we lose the globe. Consider in the case of the carbon and soot settling down on the ice. Let's go back to climate engineering, as I've been over in so many broadcasts, in regard to the exponentially increasing forest burn downs on the planet. The single greatest factor is climate engineering, not climate change, which is real and is attributed to countless human activities. Climate change, in fact, more correctly, an abrupt climate shift is what we are entering, far worse than, quote, climate change, and far more immediate. But to be clear on the forest burn downs, the single greatest factor is climate engineering. Why? It's destroying the ozone layer, ionizing the atmosphere, making it more conductive, creating more dry lightning. The toxic elements are poisoning the root systems of the trees, and the intense UV from the destroyed ozone layer from climate engineering is frying the trees from the top down. From every conceivable direction, it's cutting the hydrological cycle off as well, cutting the moisture off. For every possible direction, climate engineering is the single greatest causal factor for the forest burn downs. When all that soot goes in the atmosphere, it migrates to the Arctic, settles on the ice, melts the ice faster. Just like the president of Finland just said. And what's important when he said, when we lose the Arctic, we lose the globe, why? Because when we lose the ice from the Arctic, and the thermal energy from the sun now is absorbed, 90% of it will be absorbed on the dark ocean instead of 90% of it being reflected from the white ice. Unimaginably rapid heating, methane releasing from the seafloor, methane, extremely powerful greenhouse gas, 100 times more powerful than CO2 over a 10-year time horizon, migrates to the air column and is covering the planet like a layer of glass right now. And the most recent statistics from the Arctic, very recent as of yesterday, methane counts at altitude nearly 3,000 parts per billion. Extraordinarily high methane levels. That's why it's not cooling off at night. Let me continue with headlines. This is from Dar Jamal and from the Truth Out website. And understand, these people do not have the courage to address climate engineering, which is tragic, which makes them very criminally complacent in their so-called journalism. But some of the facts they report are still worth reporting, and we have to sift the baby from the bathwater. Here's the report. Study: amplified warming has ended era of stable climate. Done. That's what allowed civilization to establish in the first place, an extraordinary equilibrium in the climate that started 10,000 years ago, and it's done. It's over. And why do these environmental issues matter more than anything else? Because when the environment no longer functions, we're done. Doesn't matter how many planes and tanks and jets you have. We're done. Finished. Civilization, industrialized, militarized civilization, is in its death throes right now. Will not continue. Will some of us survive? We will see. But the current paradigm is done. It was never sustainable. From this report on amplified warming, a study recently published in the journal Nature brings grim news. Anthropogenic climate disruption, acronym ACD, has officially ended the era of stable climate that has made possible the development of modern civilization. Something to consider. And Dar Jamal knows about climate engineering. I had very limited communication with him some years ago. He said he would address the issue. He never has. Perhaps email Dar Jamal, who's a good reporter, a very committed, environmentally concerned reporter, but he needs to tell the whole truth. All of us do. We don't have much time. Email Dar. Ask him to address the whole truth. Another headline. From multiple sources, Alaska's first wildfire of 2018 reported in Southeast Alaska. A wildfire in Alaska in the middle of winter. Think about that. Weather Channel is now using the weather whiplash term, by the way. Term that we've used at Geoengineering Watch for a very long time. The Weather Channel paid liars continue to try to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. If you have the Weather Channel, I encourage you to watch it. If you've educated yourself somewhat on this issue, and you will see right through their lies. Email them. Find the emails peacefully. Don't threaten. Again, on any comments, I want to state this again. If there's any comment submissions to geoengineeringwatch.org, any of our sites, Facebook pages that are in any way threatening, those comments will not be posted. Count on it. We are not here to threaten anyone, and that does not help our cause. If you want to help move this fight forward, do it credibly, professionally, and you can point out to such people, like those at the Weather Channel or officials, that when the public wakes up to their crimes, certainly we can only expect the public will hold them legally and morally accountable for those crimes. That's okay to state that, but any physical threats in any form will not be tolerated at geoengineeringwatch.org. Consider this new headline from Science Daily. Yet more acknowledgement of the disintegrating ozone layer, which only a few months ago, again, official agencies stated was recovering. And again, I want to state for the record, geoengineeringwatch.org has consistently made clear that the ozone layer collapse was accelerating, not recovering. Here's the headline. Increased UV from ozone depletion sterilizes trees. I went over some of these headlines last week that stated overpopulated areas, the ozone was definitely not recovering. But now we're clear on the tree factor, which I just mentioned a few moments ago, didn't I? Follow me through with this report and I'll weave it together at the end. Evidence links volcanoes to Earth's largest mass extinction 252 million years ago. Why do they highlight volcanoes? Because they filled the atmosphere with particulates that destroyed the ozone layer. Continue with me through this report. Paleobotanists put dwarf bonsai pine trees in growth chambers and subjected them to 13 times the UVB radiation Earth experiences daily, which is a lie, by the way, because we're metering UV and we know the UVB is at times exponentially higher than we're being told. It's already in these ranges right now. We're not being told. Follow me through. Simulating conditions that likely existed 252 million years ago, and we're already there today again. During the planet's worst mass extinction, the UVB made the pines temporarily sterile and created malformed pollen, evidence that ozone depletion from volcanic eruptions could have led to high UVB levels that contributed to the Permian extinction for plants and animals. It's happening now. We're there. It's not on the horizon. It's not someday, many millenniums down the road. It's here. It's here now. The UVB is absolutely off the charts right now, and we're not being told. Report continues. Long-term biosphere collapse. During the end Permian crisis, the forest may have disappeared in part or fully because of increased UV exposure. With pulses of volcanic eruptions happening, we would expect pulsed ozone shield weakening, which may lead to forest declines as previously observed in the fossil record. Quote, if you disrupt some of the dominant plant lineages globally repeatedly, you could trigger trophic cascades by destabilizing the food web base. What's he mean? The domino effect. Everything collapses. It's happening now, which doesn't work out very well for land animals. The surprise findings tell scientists something about past extinctions and Earth's future prospects as climate change, habitat destruction, and pollution set us up for Earth's sixth mass extinction. We're already there. Again, sixth mass extinction is now. We're well into that curve. Final statements from this report. Paleontologists have come up with various kill scenarios for mass extinctions, but plant life may not be affected by dying suddenly as much as through interrupting one part of the life cycle, such as reproduction, as the UV radiation does, over a long period of time, causing the population to dwindle and potentially disappear. We're there, and keep this in mind. What's happening now is, at minimum, statistically, 170 times faster than at any point in Earth's past. Unimaginably fast, and those statistics are conservative. So, back to the particles in the atmosphere that destroy the ozone. What's the greatest source of particle pollution in the atmosphere by far? Climate engineering. That's the express goal, to saturate the atmosphere with light-scattering particles with no consideration whatsoever for the consequences. It is killing our planet. It's killing us. It's killing the web of life. It must be exposed and stopped, or it's game over. Let me continue with more headlines. About particles in the atmosphere, this new headline from phys.org, phys.org. Chemical composition of aircraft exhaust aerosols investigated. Quote, if we find a way to reduce the soot particles in the aircraft exhaust, which, my God, what kind of insane asylum do we live in when we can't see these aircraft are spraying particles that are patented processes as part of climate engineering operations? The elephant in the sky. The report continues, the climate warming effect could be reduced. In other words, these particles in the sky are not reducing global warming. They're further fueling it. Exactly what we have said at geoengineeringwatch.org from the beginning of our existence. Fueling, further fueling, short-term toxic cooldowns in exchange for a worsened overall warming. The report from PhysOrg continues. We are interested in the chemical composition of the exhaust particles, among other things, because we want to know how many particles the exhaust gas contains, how many metal-containing particles, if they're coated with condensable materials, and how the particles change in, quote, contrail formation. First, if it's particles, it's not a condensation trail, is it? It's a particle trail, a particulate trail. This very report contradicting itself. Contrail formation, says Sergey Moliker from the Particle Chemistry Department of the MPI. For chemistry, among other things, the ice crystals prevent heat from escaping back to the atmosphere, back into space, meaning that every, quote, contrail creates its own small greenhouse gas effect. One, these are not contrails. They're particulate trails. They're sprayed particulate trails as part of climate engineering. And as we have always stated at geoengineeringwatch.org, though they can deflect some of the incoming daytime thermal energy, they trap it at night as well, in addition to all the other negative effects I've already outlined on this broadcast, doing nothing but overall harm to the planet. Climate engineering is not benevolent. And by the way, this last week I had a heated email dialogue with someone from Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, which shows, I'll try to publish that dialogue in a week or so when I can get at it, showing his myopic tunnel vision mentality and the fact that he had convinced himself that climate engineering was benevolent and that I was doing great harm by trying to expose and stop it. And it shows how twisted, programmed, and literally insane so many people are working with the system. They've been programmed, they've been conditioned to believe what they're doing is something good when it's anything but. We must expose this insanity. And all those participating, like this particular individual, expose them, let the public hold them legally and morally accountable. Another headline, record warm temperatures, by the way, in the U.S., daytime highs and nighttime lows both, followed by snowstorms, the weather whiplash that I stated earlier, the Weather Channel is now reporting on. If you search us at geoengineeringwatch.org, search geoengineeringwatch.org freeze-fry scenarios or geoengineeringwatch.org chemical cooldowns, engineered snowstorms, lots and lots of data. They are chemically cooling down the most populated areas of the U.S., every chance they get to try to continue to confuse and divide the population as to the true state of planetary implosion until the last possible moment. Again, masking biosphere disintegration, hiding it from the public, from the population to keep them from panicking, is a primary objective of climate engineering, in addition to many, many other objectives, not just of this or that scenario. There are countless objectives being carried out in our skies. We must remember that, a complex scenario. In regard to the record temperatures which I mentioned, nighttime low high temperatures are rising twice as fast as daytime high temperatures. Why? Because the atmosphere is being covered with thickening greenhouse gases, not just CO2, but methane, as I mentioned earlier. It's covering the planet like a layer of glass, does not let the heat escape. Climate engineering also fueling that equation, as I just outlined, trapping more heat than it deflects. So we have nighttime temperatures going up unbelievably quickly. Heat is not escaping back into the atmosphere. But again, as I stated, in spite of the continuously escalating overall global temperatures, the climate engineers are keeping up their parade of chemically engineered cool downs over the most populated regions of the U.S. and other parts of the world. In the U.S. along the Northeast Coast, the patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification can and do turn what should have been rain into a frozen precipitation event, even at well above freezing temperatures. Again, a reminder on these two critically important considerations. There can be no legitimate discussion of the climate without first and foremost addressing the climate engineering issue. And, just as important, there can be no legitimate discussion about climate engineering without first and foremost addressing the chemical ice nucleation factor. What greenhouse gas, again, poses exponentially more danger than CO2, as I stated earlier? Methane, which, as I stated earlier, is over 100 times more powerful a greenhouse gas over a 10-year time horizon. Consider this headline from Reuters and multiple other sources. Trump administration plans to delay methane controls on oil and gas. This is the all-out fossil fuel fiesta free-for-all until there is nothing left. That's the track we're on. From this report, the administration of President Donald Trump views the rule as the methane reduction rule as excessive environmental regulation. And the BLM issued a new proposal last Wednesday that would delay the rule's implementation. The petroleum industry's chief lobbying group praised the planned delay. Energy companies have said the methane rule could cost tens of thousands of dollars per well and hinder production. How much will that production matter on a planet that doesn't support life? I'm simply pointing out, and this is not about Mr. Trump. Again, he's just a puppet in the play, like Obama, like Clinton, like the Bushes, like the rest, playing exactly the part they want him to play. But how much will increased production from oil wells matter when the planet doesn't support life? We're living in an insane asylum where most of the population can't see the forest for the trees. They want cheap gas. They want to be able to drive everywhere anytime they want, buy anything they want, consume anything they want, with no thought to the fact that our children have already no future in comparison to anything we've known, and perhaps no future at all. If we stay in the current course, that's a given. That's a mathematical certainty. No future in the very near term. So I would ask this. Is it more sane to change our behavior and try to salvage something, to try to work with the environment instead of systematically destroying it, which means we go down with the same ship? Isn't that the sane course of action? Let me continue. Here's another headline from multiple sources. U.S. Intel chief issues warning about climate change. And again, no mention of climate engineering, which is making the situation exponentially worse, not better. From this report, the top U.S. intelligence officials issued a warning on Tuesday about the dangers of climate change in testimony that was seemingly at odds with the skepticism of President Donald Trump and other members of his administration, which represent the military-industrial complex, fossil fuel industry complex, medical-industrial complex, period. I don't care what flag you wave, what side of the fence you're on, left, right, Democrat, Republican. If you're in that paradigm, if you're caught up in that organized, orchestrated drama, you're a part of the problem. From this report, the impacts of long-term trends toward a warming climate, more air pollution, i.e. where does most of that air pollution come from? I just stated climate engineering, mathematically the single greatest cause of air particulate pollution. Biodiversity loss and water scarcity are likely to fuel economic and social discontent and possibly upheaval through 2018, said Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence. Finally, some admission of the truth. And there's no probably fueling social discontent and upheaval. It's happening already all around the globe. It can't not happen. When people don't have enough to eat or enough to drink, things are going to get very chaotic very quickly, and it's already happening. And climate engineering, by the way, cutting off water to locations all over the globe, not just South Africa, cutting off the water from California, in fact, and they can cut our water off to the U.S. West as long as they want, and they are absolutely doing it, and meteorologists absolutely know what's going on. They absolutely do. The blatantness with which the ridiculous resilient ridge is being kept over the U.S. West to float some of the moisture up and over the top of us to cool parts of the East and to try to preserve what slush is left in the Arctic is destroying the U.S. West, destroying our forests, fueling the overall global meltdown. This is, the short-term pharmaceutical sort of mentality for planet Earth. Let's try to treat one symptom and destroy the whole planet in the process because we didn't consider the consequences and because we're using this tool, climate engineering, as a weapon, and that's what they're doing. Why do you think countries all over the globe, I'm diverging here a moment, why do you think countries all over the globe have allowed the U.S. to occupy their country? Because they've been brought to their knees by the climate engineering weapon that destabilized their countries and allowed U.S. to occupy again and again and again. This is what our country does. It's not about freedom and democracy. It's not. And I'm sorry, if you're a real American, you consider yourself patriotic, then face the truth. Face the truth. blindly waving your flag while you're ranting some sort of programmed false patriotism is not anything other than tyranny. That's what it is. And in regard to, I just want to throw this in regard to the denial of anything wrong with the climate for the Trump administration, consider this one. This is a little bit of a divergence, but consider this. Here's the headline from multiple sources. Green light for Trump's Irish wall at Dunberg. Although Mr. Trump said he's not a great believer in man-made climate change, in the original application he cited global warming and rising seas. This is for his Dunberg wall around a golf course there, which he feels he apparently needs because of the rising seas from a climate meltdown, which we all know that administration states is not happening. Try to see through the smoke and mirrors. Here's another headline from the UK Daily Mail. Sea levels could rise by twice as much as scientists had predicted by 2100, swallowing entire cities and putting the lives of millions at risk. Now, we shouldn't even consider the 2100 date because on the current course, we will all be long gone. Long gone. 2050, same thing. Far too far in the future on the current course, long gone. We have very little time on the current course. That's a mathematical fact. Not my opinion, mathematical fact. Again, I cite species extinction rate, 1.5% of normal right now. 1.5% of normal. Fully two-thirds of all wildlife on the planet will be dead in the next several years. We're almost there statistically right now. How long do humans think they can survive without a functional biosphere? From this report, melting ice in Greenland and Antarctica are largely responsible for the trend, experts say, described by the team as a game changer in the climate change debate. Again, no mention of climate engineering. It could mean places as far flung as South Florida, Bangladesh, and Shanghai, and parts of Washington, D.C. being engulfed by rising waters. Could mean. I highlight those types of statements every week. Could, might, may, no. No could, no might, no may, will, is, already happening. Florida will be long gone. Long gone. We're talking about a total, when all the cryosphere melts, all the ice deposits, we're talking about 230 or 240 feet of sea level rise. Florida's gone. 3 feet of sea level rise in most of Florida's coastal habitation is done. Gone. It's here. It's happening now. But we have academia betraying the human race and the web of life by still using words like could, may, might. No. Tell the truth. Academia needs to come out of the shadows and start telling the truth. And if you're a member of academia and you know you're part of this problem, look yourself in the mirror. Do the right thing. Come forward. Tell the whole truth, not a half-truth. Another headline from multiple sources. Shipping first as commercial tanker crosses Arctic sea route. In winter. Crossing the Northwest Passage in winter, unescorted. The crossing unassisted by an icebreaker vessel marks a milestone as thawing polar ice opens up Russia's north coastline. The trend creates market opportunities. Great. Market opportunities on a planet that will soon not support life. The northern sea route is shorter than alternatives, though the Suez Canal, like the Suez Canal, for many trade links between Europe and Asia. Now, consider all those sources and sites that have been ranting global cooling, global warming is a hoax, which is exactly the narrative the power structure and the climate engineers want. Don't be a part of that false narrative, which is harming our ability to expose and stop climate engineering. Look at the facts. Don't believe me. Look at the frontline facts. That's all I've ever asked anyone to do. More headlines. There is this from the Associated Press. Satellites show warming is accelerating sea level rise. What have we stated at geoengineeringwatch.org from the very beginning of our existence? It's not as bad as Al Gore states. It's far, far worse than anything any official agency is disclosing. And that's exactly what is starting to surface now because they can't hide it any longer. And we said this day would come. It's coming. It's happening. From this report from Reuters, melting ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica are speeding up the already fast pace of sea level rise. New satellite research shows at the current rate, the world's oceans on average will be at least 2 feet higher by the end of the century. Again, these figures are completely, completely false. It's far worse. We could be at 2 feet of sea level rise in the next decade very easily or more. We face a very non-linear equation. And if we have the kind of temperature rise that some of the top frontline polar scientists say we will have in the next decade or less, it's game over. That's 8 to 10 degrees C temperature rise in the next decade, which means we could have meters of sea level rise in the next decade, not 2100. Monday's proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences said. So to recap, industrialized, militarized society of which climate engineering is a part is decimating the planet and the climate system. Crop failure is accelerating rapidly. Nutrient values are collapsing in those crops. The oceans are acidifying and dying. Climate engineering and other forms of human pollution are destroying the ozone layer, also killing crops, by the way, and plankton. And thus, the oceans are dying. And then there's the issue of mass methane expulsion, which I covered, into the atmosphere, which is already occurring in the thawing and imploding Arctic. On the current melt-off trajectory, we may have an ice-free Arctic by September of this year. That will cause an exponential acceleration of methane expulsion into the atmosphere due to the thawing methane hydrate deposits, tundra and seafloor deposits. And what's the response of the U.S. military industrial climate engineering complex, juggernaut of total insanity? Let's make America great again by manufacturing even more weapons of mass destruction to distribute to every country and corner of the world. Take a moment to remember the quote I covered from the president of Finland earlier in this broadcast. Quote, if we lose the Arctic, we lose the world. Our species is behaving with no sanity whatsoever. What happens? The chaos that unfolds when people don't have enough to eat or drink. Listen to this headline and consider part of this headline that's not accurate. Most mass exodus begins as thousands flee Venezuela's socialist starvation across the bridge to Colombia. Now, is it really a result of socialism or is it a result of an imploding biosphere? And this is where the public continues to be deceived, just like the quote I read at the beginning of this broadcast from Mr. Twain. If you don't read the papers, you're uninformed. If you read the papers, i.e. mainstream media, you're misinformed. Biosphere collapse happening now. It will spread rapidly. U.S. store shelves being stocked with food from all over the world, $20 billion a year worth of food, in order to keep the American population pacified until the brutal, bitter end, while the world and industrialized civilization disintegrates. Another headline, multiple sources, audit, Pentagon cannot account for $6.5 trillion. Adding to the appearance of impropriety is the fact that thousands of documents that should be on file at the Pentagon have been removed and disappeared without any reasonable explanation. Is that a surprise? I don't think so. A new Department of Defense Inspector General's report released last week has left Americans stunned at the jaw-dropping lack of accountability and oversight. The glaring report revealed the Pentagon couldn't account for $6.5 trillion worth of Army General Fund transactions and data, according to a report by the Fiscal Times. The Pentagon, which has been notoriously lax in its accounting practices, has never completed an audit that would reveal how the agency has specifically spent the trillions of dollars allocated for wars. They can spend whatever they want. People ask me, who's responsible for climate engineering? Who's at the head of it? As if I'm supposed to supply them a name and address and phone number, which I clearly can't do. But what we can say is it's obviously those who print the money. Endless amounts of money. They, the central bankers, those who control the central bankers, are responsible for armies, which they fund, and thus they own countries. Those who control the central bankers, that's the top of the ladder. That's where all roads lead. If we, as a population, continue to support this insanity, whether actively or passively, we have no chance. Collectively, we must stop going about our lives as if nothing is wrong while the world implodes around us. We have a responsibility to find out what's happening and to do our part to change course. Back to climate engineering and the headlines from academia that still deny it's ongoing. This headline from Mother Jones, also reposted by Rolling Stone. We already have a planet cooling technology. The problem is it's killing us. From this report, when most people hear, quote, climate change, they think of greenhouse gases overheating the planet. But there's another product of industry that's changing the climate that has received scant public attention. Aerosols. Aerosols. What's the primary element used in climate engineering patents to fill the sky? Aerosols. They're microscopic particles of pollution that, on balance, reflect sunlight back to space and help cool the planet down. But do they? We already covered that in this broadcast. Short-term cooling at the cost of a worsened overall warming, already acknowledged by peer-reviewed study. But the report from Mother Jones states proving a crucial counterweight to greenhouse gas-powered global warming. An effort to co-opt this natural cooling ability of aerosols has long been considered a potential last-ditch desperate shot at slowing down global warming. That card has already been played. 70 years ago, governments around the globe made the decision without our knowledge or consent to engage in an experiment of which we are all a part and from which there is no return. No return. The geoengineering card has been played, and we still have academia pretending it's only a proposal. Academia needs to show the courage to start telling the truth. They should cling together and come forward as groups so they're not picked off by the power structure. It must happen now. We don't have tomorrow if they don't start to come forward now. If you're in academia, if you're in the sciences, the meteorological communities, communicate with your colleagues and join together with enough of them to stand up in a manner that you can't just be taken out of the equation. And you need to do it now. If you have any regard for doing what's right, you need to do it now. Moving on, I want to get to, we have our own military-industrial complex at the head of the climate engineering insanity and at the head of countless other incidences of insanity all over the globe that has been business as usual for this country, leaving a wake of mass destruction behind it wherever it goes. On what moral ground do we have any business criticizing other countries for what they do when we're behaving as we're behaving as a country? Consider this report from the antimedia.org website. If America wasn't America, the United States would be bombing it. There's one rogue nation that continues to hold the world ransom with its nuclear weapons supply. It is decimating non-compliant states left, right, and center. This country must be exposed and stopped in its tracks before anyone turns to the issue of North Korea. In August of 1945, this rogue nation dropped two atomic bombs on civilian targets, not military targets, completely obliterating between 135,000 and 300,000 Japanese civilians in just these two acts alone. Prior to this event, this country killed even more civilians in the infamous firebombing of Tokyo and other areas of Japan, dropping close to 500,000 cylinders of napalm and petroleum jelly on some of Japan's most densely populated civilian areas. Recently, historians have considered that dropping the atomic bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki was not actually necessary to end World War II. This has also been confirmed by those who actually took part in it, as the Nation publication explained. Quote, Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, stated in a public address at the Washington Monument 2 months after the bombings that the atomic bomb played no decisive part from a purely military standpoint in the defeat of Japan, end quote. Admiral William Bull Halsey Jr., commander of the U.S. Third Fleet, stated publicly in 1946 that, quote, the first atomic bomb was an unnecessary experiment. It was a mistake to ever drop it. The scientists had this toy, and they wanted to try it out, so they dropped it. A few months prior to this rogue country's invasion of the Japanese island of Okinawa also claimed at least one quarter of Okinawa's population. The Okinawan people have been protesting this country, i.e. the USA, this country's military presence ever since. The most recent ongoing protest has lasted well over 5,000 days in a row. This nation's bloodlust continued well after the end of World War II. Barely half a decade later, this country bombed North Korea into complete oblivion, destroying over 8,700 factories, 5,000 schools, 1,000 hospitals, 600,000 homes, and eventually killing off as much as 20% of the entire country's population. As the Asia Pacific Journal has noted, the assaulting country dropped so many bombs that they eventually ran out of targets to hit, turning to bomb the irrigation system instead. From the report, quote, by the fall of 1952, there were no effective targets left for U.S. planes to hit. Every significant town, city, industrial area in North Korea had already been bombed into oblivion. In the spring of 1953, the Air Force targeted irrigation dams on the Yolo River, both to destroy the North Korean rice crops and to pressure China, who would have to supply more food to the North. Five reservoirs were hit, flooding thousands of acres of farmland, inundating whole towns, and laying waste to the essential food source for millions of North Koreans. This was just the beginning. Having successfully destroyed the future of North Korea, the North Korean state, this country moved, the USA, moved to the rest of the East Asia region and Indochina also. As Rolling Stone's Matt Taibbi has explained, quote, we, this loose cannon of a nation, dumped 20 million gallons of toxic herbicide in Vietnam from the air just to make shooting easier without all those trees. An insane plan to, quote, win hearts and minds that has left about a million still disabled from defects and disease, including about 100,000 children. Remember the children I spoke about at the beginning of this broadcast and how media and agencies and elected officials claim to care? Couldn't be further from the truth. 100,000 children in Vietnam still disabled. That doesn't count Iraq and all the other areas where depleted uranium is being used. The report continues. 100,000 children disabled even decades later. Little kids with misshapen heads, webbed hands, and fused eyelids, struggling to survive on makeshift cots. Our real American legacy, of course, well out of view. This mass murder led to the deaths of between 1.5 million and 3.8 million people, according to the Washington Post. More bombs were dropped on Vietnam than were unleashed during the entire conflict in World War II. While this was going on, the same country was also secretly bombing Laos, the same country, i.e. the U.S., of course, bombing Laos and Cambodia, where there are over 80 million unexploded bombs still killing people to this day. This country, i.e. America, also decided to bomb Yugoslavia, Panama, and Grenada before invading Iraq in the early 90s. Having successfully bombed Iraqi infrastructure, this country then punished Iraq's entire civilian population with brutal sanctions. At the time, the UN estimated that approximately 1.7 million Iraqis had died as a result of the U.S. invasion, including, as I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, 500,000 to 600,000 Iraqi children. When interviewed during the sanctions era, Bill Clinton's Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, estimated that to this rogue government, the U.S., the deaths of 500,000 children were, quote, worth it, as the, quote, price Iraq needed to pay. In other words, whether 500,000 children died or not was irrelevant to this nation, which barely blinked when carrying out this murderous policy and invaded that country with 9/11 as an excuse, when we now know Saddam Hussein, however bad an individual he may have been, and he was armed by our country, by the way, never had anything to do with 9/11, and 500,000 children died. Back to the point I made at the beginning of this broadcast, when elected officials, even in the White House, agencies, media, pretend to care about our children that were slaughtered by someone who official agencies knew was going to carry out this crime, look through the smoke and mirrors, please. Look through the lies of so-called caring when their behavior indicates anything but. The report continues, this almighty superpower then invaded Iraq again in 2003 and plunged the entire region into chaos. At the end of May 2017, the Physicians for Social Responsibility released a study concluding that the death toll from this violent nation's 2003 invasion of Iraq had led to over another million in deaths, that at least one-third of them were caused directly by the invading force. Not to mention this country also invaded Afghanistan prior to the invasion of Iraq, even though the militants plaguing Afghanistan were originally trained and financed by the U.S. It then went on, the U.S., to bomb Yemen, Syria, Libya, Pakistan, Somalia, and the Philippines. Libya famously had one of the highest standards of living in the region. It had a state-assisted healthcare, education, transportation, and affordable housing mechanism. It is now a lawless war zone rife with extremism where slaves are openly traded like commodities amid the power vacuum created as a direct result of the 2011 U.S. invasion. In 2017, the commander-in-chief of this violent nation took the monumental death and destruction to a new level by removing the restrictions on delivering airstrikes, which resulted in thousands upon thousands of civilian deaths. Before that, in the first 6 months of 2017, this country, the U.S., dropped over 20,650 bombs, a monumental increase from the year that preceded it. When the U.S. isn't directly bombing a country, it's also arming radical insurgent groups. Covered that in previous programs. Do we know where the Toyota trucks that the weapons that the ISIS militants had came from? Guess where? U.S. of A. They're also arming radical insurgent groups, creating instability and directly overthrowing governments through covert operations on the ground. If we have any empathy for humanity, it's clear that the military-industrial complex of this country must be stopped. It cannot continue to act like this to the detriment of the rest of the planet and the safety and security of the rest of the world. This country openly talks about using its nuclear weapons, has used them before, and has continued to use all manner of weapons unabated in the years since using nuclear weapons on civilians, while threatening to expand the use of these weapons to other countries. If North Korea seems like a threat, imagine how does the rest of the world feel while watching one country violently take on the rest of the planet single-handedly, leaving nothing but destruction in its wake and promising nothing less than a nuclear holocaust in the years to come. There's only one country that has done and that continues to do the very things North Korea is being accused of doing. And to our brothers and sisters in the military that are facilitating this insanity, I ask you to stand back, examine the facts, and consider your part in the play. Blindly following orders is not patriotism, it is tyranny. And your government cares just as little for you as it does for all those I just outlined. You are used for cannon fodder repeatedly. I've outlined that in previous programs, from Agent Orange to the nuclear testing that contaminated so many of our troops and our own population to depleted uranium. I could go on and on. Those who fund militaries, who control the central bankers, do not care about you. And what you are doing is not about freedom and democracy. Please consider the facts. Consider the oath you took to protect your country from all threats, foreign and domestic. Final headline: the increasing likelihood of nuclear war should straighten out all our priorities. From Caitlin Johnston. This is from Information Clearinghouse. A Russian pilot has been killed by U.S. armed terrorists in Syria. The Ron Paul Institute's Daniel McAdams writes the following about this new development. The scenario where U.S.-backed supply jihadist groups in Syria uses U.S. weapons to shoot down a Russian plane and then murders the pilot on the ground should be seen as a near-nightmare escalation, drawing the U.S. and Russia terrifyingly close to direct conflict. That's what the military-industrial complex wants and needs and is pushing for. Consider and remember, as I repeat over and over, as the biosphere implodes and the military-industrial complex runs out of options, global conflict will likely be their final card. Climate engineering is a part of their weapons of power and control. It's not about benevolence. It's not about mitigating global warming. It's about power and control, making the meltdown of our planet far worse, not better, contaminating everything in the process. The majority of first world populations continue to choose denial of reality in lieu of acceptance of it. The majority continue to choose apathy and inaction over a sense of responsibility toward the whole, over a sense of responsibility toward the greater good. To be clear, willful ignorance, denial, and inaction won't save us from what's unfolding. Rather, such traits will only ensure our common demise on a very short-term horizon. We are all here for a reason, for a purpose. Clinging to denial and self-serving paradigms is not a life of purpose or a life well-lived. Can we claim to own our own lives? Do we give life to ourselves? Or do we in fact owe our lives to the whole, to the children, to the web of life that has allowed us to exist in the first place? All of us have had those close calls when we could have and perhaps should have been maimed or killed due to an accident of some sort that almost happened. What sort of reflection should we engage in after such an occurrence? After each time I've weathered such an experience, I could only think about the fact that, yet again, additional time had been given to me. Bonus time, if you will. Time that wasn't intended for a purpose. Time that was owed to the whole, to the greater good. All of us that are here now, at this most critical and decisive time in human history, indeed, the very web of life is hanging in the balance. We, all of us, are here for a purpose. It's not an accident. It's not without responsibility to the whole. We're not helpless. And such a notion is a societally programmed lie. We're not without personal power to positively affect the greater good if we would simply choose to exercise our will properly, morally, honorably. This choice belongs to each of us alone. Our will is all that we can truly call our own. And it can never be taken, ever. Stand up and make your voice heard in this all-important battle for the greater good. Learn how to effectively and efficiently wake others up to what is unfolding. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the first and most important leap forward in the right direction. Sharing credible data from a credible source is key. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue to do our best to provide the most compelling and factual frontline data materials. They're on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Help us to sound the alarm. If our collective efforts could fully expose the climate engineering insanity, so much would come to the surface with it. Make your voice heard while it can still matter. Tomorrow is too late. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.